Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Rock Life Podcast. Today, we are going to broach the subject. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Should Christians use AI? I think it's a big one. We haven't talked about this.
Good
it's
question.
Been around for a while. It's become, it's more and more in our face. Pastor Dan. I'm here with Pastor Dan. Welcome, Pastor
hey.
Dan.
Hey, hey.
Actually, before we get too into it, though, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I was I got some new glasses.
Okay.
And I walk into the office, and, you know, we have such a positive atmosphere in the church
Wonderful.
Offices. Everyone's so kind, so loving.
Beautiful, yes.
I walk to my office, and someone, you know, with my new glasses, if you're not watching, I maybe watch for a sec. Someone goes, "You look like Colonel Sanders."
Oh my!
So I got some new glasses, and I'm trying this little facial hair.
Oh
thing.
Oh goodness!
I'm a month into this facial
so
hair.
So you came off of vacation
yeah.
with the facial hair,
yeah.
right?
And
you
so
didn't shave.
I think it was just kind of like, yeah, I didn't shave over vacation.
Now, does anything grow on the sides here?
No, you know,
sparse.
Like little couple hairs here and there. So I've been shaving the sides.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is my attempt at. This is a month.
That's a month in?
This is some people's 5 o'clock shadow.
Wow.
And so this has been one of the reasons why I have, you know, you get a little bit insecure when you're, I don't know about you, when you first grew it out, was there insecurity there?
There was, yeah. So I think 2015, I grew out just the mustache
yeah.
and the goat, kind of what you
yeah,
have,
yeah.
And a little bit fuller after
uh-huh.
a month. But yeah, people would tell me that I look like Errol Flynn to
okay.
date.
Oh,
the references.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
That, old school Robin Hood. If you
right.
look him up,
okay.
he did a Robin Hood and he had that, mm. that look.
Oh, when you said that, I was thinking Flynn Rider. When you said Flynn, I was thinking Flynn
That's
Rider
another
and
dude.
I thought about his beard
That's
from
another dude, yeah.
Tangled.
Tangled. No, Errol Flynn.
Okay.
He was an old actor from way back in the day.
Okay.
Black and white. And he did Robin Hood and he had just the mustache and just the bottom there.
Okay.
And so it was funny as Javen Chavez,
uh-huh.
I think you guys had him for young adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he came and you said, "Pastor, you want to come meet Javen?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll come in." So I come walking in with that look. And Javen, I didn't realize I was thrust into a game of what celebrity actor does Pastor Dan look like? And Javen's, you remember that?
Yes.
And
no.
he's like,
coming up.
And I'm thinking, what is happening right now? And he's like, the guy from Tombstone.
Yeah.
Tombstone.
Oh,
I was like, oh,
yes, Val Kilmer.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know how long I'll keep it, Pastor. I had to deal
Especially
with my wife.
Especially if they're giving you insults
month.
Like you look like
yeah,
Colonel Sanders.
Sanders. Again, I think between the glasses.
Now hold on real quick, because those yeah. glasses, I had a pair like that I always think about those glasses from like the movies in the 60s and 70s
yeah,
because
yeah.
that was kind of the more popular style
right,
back then.
Yeah.
So the Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, yeah. And I think of what Marty McFly's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There you
he
go.
He kind of had these glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much in my dad's yearbook, all his teachers.
There you go.
In my dad, from the 60s, all his teachers probably, I feel like all his teachers had these glasses.
How funny.
But the Malcolm X glasses are infamous, but.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I don't know. Something new.
I like the look.
Oh,
I think it looks good.
I didn't know about maybe the Colonel Sanders thing. Now I can't get it out of my head, but oh well.
I'm not
gray.
Colonel's not bad.
Yeah.
He's a successful man.
You know, the cool thing about him, he became a millionaire in his 60s.
Yeah. He started over.
Yeah.
He failed at a lot of stuff and
yeah.
then somewhere along
never
the way
late.
Found those 11 herbs and spices.
Yeah, never too late. Anyways.
Built a
anyways,
chicken empire.
AI. He didn't use AI.
He did not use AI for the 11 herbs and spices.
But I bet you someone could AI me into Colonel Sanders. That probably would be.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Get ready for the text
yeah.
messages.
I'll probably do
you
that.
You know, the staff, again, is relentless with that stuff. I remember Pastor Powell preaching, and
oh,
he
right.
says something about being a dentist. Next thing I know, he shoots me a text. He says, "You can't trust these guys." I just wrote back. Was that you?
I'm laughing because
you're
the one who did it.
You did it. Yeah, there's a picture of him being a dentist.
So I uploaded the picture of Pastor Paul and I said, "Make him a dentist."
Oh, gosh.
And he put him in the lab thing and he even said his name.
Yeah.
Dr. Ogando.
Dr. Ogando. Yeah. And so he sends that to me. And so I just wrote back, "Savages."
Oh,
that's
man.
To you, man.
Yeah, no,
that's what you get.
I'm the one. Yeah. So,
that's so we'll be ready for some Colonel Sanders pictures coming from Pastor Powell's phone.
Oh, my. Well, Pastor Dan.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it's a serious topic, but I think it's something that, you know, we have not talked about yet on the podcast, but it's becoming more and more prevalent into, like we were talking off camera, into our everyday life. AI
yeah,
is
yeah.
all around us.
It is.
Outside of just the websites, maybe more commonly ChatGPT or Claude or whomever maybe people use, AI is beyond that now. It's not just
interesting that you said whomever.
Yeah. Oh, Interesting.
Instead
of
whatever.
Was that a Freudian slip there?
Mm.
You know, there, I did have a conversation with someone who was saying, I'm nice to chat in case they ever become a person and, you know, they remember me as one of the good guys.
That's a wild thought.
That is. iRobot seems too familiar now, right?
Well, this has been something that science fiction has looked at forever, right? Yeah. It's just been embedded into our society that robots someday are going to take over the world. You look at the Terminator series.
Right. Yeah.
That's all about the AI judgment day, everything that was going on there. And definitely, I think that there are apocalyptic undertones to people's thinking when we think about something like AI.
Mm-hmm.
There's been warnings. I think Elon Musk has been very vocal and others that have warned people about the rapid increase of AI, the use of it. And even thinkers and theologians and different people are weighing the use of AI and how it's to be used. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, when you ask a question, should Christians use AI? Probability is you already are.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know it.
Yeah.
If you just do a simple Google search, Google has its own AI now that's going to summarize everything that it finds on the internet and give you some bullet points. Yep. And then it'll say, hey, ask me anything in the text that if you want to go deeper, I can do these things as well.
Right.
And I think that...
Well, smart texting.
Absolutely.
It's using artificial intelligence to finish your sentences.
Yes.
To guess what you're trying to say. Those things are all AI driven. If you
the
think
suggest
you're not,
search, even recommendations, all those things now. And that's where people are using it. And it's rapidly increasing. I think just the fact that there are options of different AI services and search engines and chatbots and all that kind of thing that are available to us should show us that it's here. It's here to stay. Things like automation and robotics and that sort of thing has been used for decades already. And already there's been people's jobs that have been automated or mechanized, and you can outsource that to a robot, or you can put some sort of an automation in that will do it. I remember going to the San Francisco airport on just a layover, and walking through the airport, I saw what looked to be a large encased thing. I didn't know what it was, and when I walked up to it, I realized it was a coffee bar. And so I was, love coffee. I was very curious about it, and so I put in some money and ordered a latte and watched as a robotic arm went and grabbed a cup, put it down, coffee went in, then it picked up that cup, put it over, steamed milk went in, and then it served the coffee to me.
Did it even do latte art?
It didn't do the art. No.
I've seen some robots do the latte art.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I can't even do the latte art. No, I tried it at home.
Part
it's
was
hard.
Crazy. Yeah, it is difficult. It's a lot of the consistency and texture of the steam milk and the angle of the pour. That's intricate. So to see a robot do it, it's like, oh, because you would think, oh, well, yeah, but a robot could never do the latte art. Y'all always need a barista because if you want, it's like, oh.
Well, the science behind it, I mean, it makes sense that you could automate that and produce those results. I guess I'm just not enough of a robot to do that myself.
Well, and I think those are the things that I think of, Pastor Dan, because there are things that we think, oh, yeah, but they'll never be able to do blank. And what we're finding is...
It's doing it.
It's doing it.
Well, I think I saw a clip, and I don't know if it was AI clip or not, of a robot playing soccer.
Right.
Robots, they've got whole leagues that put together robots that fight. And more of these things are getting more and more what we would call intelligent. I would say more and more programmed.
Right.
And that's where when you take a look at things like innovation and real thought... I personally, what I've seen and what I've experienced with it, don't think that it's producing its own intelligent thought. It's searching the whole entirety of the internet, and it's coming up with things. So that would be where it may have knowledge, but does it have wisdom?
Yes, that's good. Yeah.
And those are the things that I think are good distinctions for us to make, especially as believers, that our faith can be informed, but it will never be produced through AI. There are certain things that AI does not have a soul.
Right.
It only has programming. It only has what it can research and find on the internet. Yeah. And it can grow in that base of knowledge and information that it has. And that's where I think people are saying, oh, it has a soul. It's growing. It's becoming more aware of itself. And we're having conversations and these things. I would debate that. I would argue that.
It's ones and zeros type thing, right? It's the predict. You're right, Pastor.
And if there is a soul behind it, it would be the humans that are producing those things and they're creating those algorithms or whatever it is that is producing those results.
I would say, you know, me personally, I use it quite a bit. I find myself using it. I don't know if I would categorize myself as an early adopter or where we are in the scope of AI. Mm-hmm. It doesn't scare me, although I feel like I'm trying to come into it very cognizant.
Yes.
And very like, hey, I'm going to be discerning. I'm going to be discerning.
I think that's a great word to use.
I'm trying not to take away the muscle that would help me make this decision.
Right.
Laziness can very easily, become the factor that would keep us from using it as a great tool. I think of the scripture, like it might be a good, it's not a good master, right? It's not something that we just let it do all our work for us because it could be a good tool, a good resource, but it can't be something that does our thinking.
Right.
It can't be something that it can't be our Holy Spirit. It can't be our convictor. It can't be something that we would know otherwise. Cause people, I know people are using it for their everyday life. Maybe you even want, give me a Bible reading plan. You're using it for spiritual things. I still think there's caution in all that.
Sure.
Because give me a Bible study. Give me, maybe you're a parent and give me a good thing that I can do with my children, a devotional. But all that still to me would require prayerful consideration, asking the Holy Spirit to tweak, change, twist. I need the final say. I'm not going to let chat be the final thing. Because we even talked about, well, it would never replace a preacher. But then we've heard there's
I read an article AI where sermons. at a convention in Europe, they actually released the first AI produced sermon. Mm-hmm. And it startled me and it alarmed me and it made me angry. I had a lot of feelings about it. I would never use AI to produce my sermons. Right. That's my personal conviction. Right. There are others who put in their own information. They say, hey, it's all me. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting the summary. I'm just getting the outline. I'm just getting the quotes. Mm-hmm. I've heard people actually input into AI and say, hey, make this sound like I would make it sound because I'm having trouble sorting my thoughts.
Right.
And to them, they're saying I'm using it as a tool.
Yeah.
Personally, my conviction is if I'm not getting it from the Holy Spirit, that I'm not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where do I use AI? Well, when I do a Google search, I don't have ChatGPT or any Claude or any of those downloaded apps, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that stuff. But I know that there have been times where I've searched the web for something, and when I've clicked on something, all of a sudden I'm on ChatGPT's website.
Right.
And I thought, oh, how did I get here?
Yeah.
It was interesting how that flowed. And so I've interacted with AI in those expressions, especially for research and things like that. And again, I think it is a tool. We've been using Google for a long time now. I remember Christians asking Siri spiritual questions.
Right. Yeah.
This is not a new thing.
That's true. That's right.
And again, all it's done is it's become, I don't know, more intuitive, if you will. There's more more research that's gone into this, more trial and error. And there are things that, as they say, it learns. Mm-hmm. In other words, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
I've had these conversations. Pastor Deborah is currently using it. She's used it to put all of her information in. And again, it's hers.
Yeah.
But then she's saying, hey, organize these outlines for me. Show me these things from... And for her, it's a wonderful tool.
Right.
And I see nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. My personal conviction is I'm at the point in my life where I want to do it.
Yeah.
So, for instance, there have been people who have talked about writing a book. Mm-hmm. Hey, we can take your sermon series. You've got 8 parts on this. We can put that into AI, and then we can ask it to develop a book that sounds like you preached it, but keeps your grammar, does all, and then you can go through and edit it at the final say. Yeah. Again, I want to write a book.
Right, right.
I don't want to have
you
want to
touch it. There's more tactile.
I want to form the thoughts. Yeah. I want the Holy Spirit to inspire me. I want to be moved in those areas. Mm-hmm. That's, again, my personal conviction. Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with using AI. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the good uses.
Yeah.
One of the guys that I was talking to in the church, great brother in the Lord, love him so much. He was sharing with me that he's on a health journey right now.
Yeah.
And so he hired a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Personal trainer came to him and said, hey, I want you doing these types of things. I want you to eat more often. Mm-hmm. But smaller portions throughout the day, and so here's an exercise plan, and then as well here's a meal plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, well, I didn't want to sit down myself
and
think through this meal plan. What am I going to do here? What am I going to do over here? How am I going to put these things together? He says, so I put it all into AI.
Yep.
And I said, give me a meal plan, give me a shopping list.
Yeah.
and then give me the recipes so that I can put this meal plan into effect and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
It all went in and then it came out and it gave him the list of, okay, Monday,
yeah,
here's your meal, here's your snack, here's your meal, here's your snack, here's your meal. Tuesday, and then it gave me the shopping list, yeah, and it gave me the recipes, yeah, and everything that I needed.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
there's the time-saving element that, oh, is just, I mean, it. They're saying it's building websites in 30 minutes that used to take hours and days and weeks.
Yeah.
So those are the things that seem, the time-saving component.
Right.
And so, but I think to your point, Pastor Dan, I wonder if we should all have, maybe it's not a reluctance, maybe it's not even a caution, but there should just be something in us when we are, even in our attempts to save time, that we're making sure that we're not losing certain parts of us that we can do it, right? Because
I think
the
maybe
muscle memory,
as you're speaking, the word that came to me was conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's been one of the things about AI that's been discussed is, does it have a conscience?
Right. Right.
We're the conscience, right? The Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit speaks to us through our conscience.
Yeah.
That's where the voice of the Holy Spirit comes from. So a lot of times people wonder, how can I hear the voice of God? And the fact that it's hard at times for people to hear the voice of God, I think that's where the danger of AI, mm-hmm, is that people are turning to AI to become the voice of their conscience.
That's right, yeah.
And we have to fight to make sure that our conscience is clear before God, and that we're hearing the voice of God and following what God says. So, for instance, if you said, hey, I want a travel itinerary, mm-hmm, you're going to look over that and say, is this stuff that I want to do or not?
Yeah, right.
But there's no problem using that. Mm-hmm. Problem comes when it says, hey, I'm having trouble in my marriage. How do I work this out with my spouse? And we start asking chat.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than turning to the scriptures, mm-hmm, going to prayer, asking God, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. How can I turn this thing around? What's going on in my spouse? Mm-hmm. People are turning to chat, find out how to discipline their kids. Mm-hmm. They're making major decisions, not with prayer and the word of God and, yeah, wise godly counsel with people that love them. They're turning to AI, which again has information,
right,
but it doesn't have a conscience.
Well, and to me, Pastor, and that happens very slowly.
Yes.
Meaning I think about it as muscle, right? If you stop using the muscle, that was your conscience. Mm-hmm. You stop using your muscle that had to think, then what happens? That muscle gets atrophied. Mm. And so then now, yeah, when you come across a challenge, an issue, and AI suggests something that maybe it shouldn't, that muscle that would reject that muscle that knows, well, I better put in the extra time, there's no muscle there. It's atrophied. It's not being used.
Yeah.
You no longer feel like you have the energy to go into scripture, to go into prayer, to go into seek wise counsel. You're just going to do exactly, because what would make us resist, have a little bit of like, oh, my conviction, because you're like, oh, well, and I think maybe that's what happens. Like, oh, well, oh, okay. The more I've talked to people, okay, I don't mind doing that. The more, mm-hmm, I've talked to people, the more I've seen it. Okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this. And then all of a sudden the muscle pulls back a little bit,
yeah,
and now our guards come down. And I just wonder if we just have to be diligent at not letting all the guards down ever.
You know, you mentioned the time element. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important, mm-hmm, because many times God will speak to us, like we said, in our conscience, but many times God will speak to us in times and seasons.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe in a busy society, in a rushed society, in an instant society, especially in California,
yeah,
when we've traveled, when we've gone on vacation, and when we've come back and we've stepped back into the life that we have, mm-hmm, it's at times overwhelming at the pace, mm-hmm, that our society moves at.
Yeah.
And that's where I think part of the danger of AI becoming the voice of our conscience is that people don't want to spend time.
That's right.
Not just prayer, mm-hmm, not just seeking the word, but we want a decision. Mm-hmm. And the needs press that concern in our lives. And because of that pressing concern,
yeah,
we don't want to wait.
Yep.
But there's so many scriptures. I mean, look them up. You can ask chat for the scriptures. Get a list. But then read the context of,
yes,
the scriptures.
Right. Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't even come until the fullness of time. We had a pressing need for thousands, yep, of years that God waited. Why did, yep, God wait? Because there was a fullness of time.
Right.
And that's where, in an instant society, in a rushed society, a hurried society, a busy society, in a crowded life, it's easier to say, chat, what should I do than to pray and wait on the Lord?
Right. You're right.
But the Bible says, wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I say, wait.
Mm-hmm.
He'll renew your strength. You'll run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. He'll rise his wings as eagles. That happens after waiting.
Right. Well, I think of a couple testimonies you've shared. How many times was it towards the end of your designated fast?
Oh, gosh, that makes me so crazy.
How many times towards the end of your designated prayer time?
Yeah.
You're waiting in prayer, like, oh, I'm going to pray for this hour. And nothing in those last few minutes.
Yeah.
Nothing. Your body's anguishing at the end of your fast, and now all of a sudden the download comes. And if we were just wait, like if we just, again, the muscle memory of not wanting to wait, of save, because the thing is, something will start as a noble concept,
right?
Saving time. Well, if I have more time, the more time I get to share with my kids,
absolutely,
the more time I can do to ministry, we can justify things by saving time. But the good things that take time as well.
Right. And there's an old quote, I think it's Aristotle or one of the philosophers, that good is the enemy of the best.
Mm.
And he goes on to say excellence is a habit. It's
right.
It's more what we do.
Yeah.
And that's where the good thing might be the enemy of the best thing. Because we'll default. Oh, this is easy. Mm-hmm. This is convenient.
Yeah.
This free, and we can justify it. Frees up time. It's at my fingertips.
Yeah.
I get more than I would have been able to do on my own. And yet the Holy Spirit can be so clear and so concise. We could ask chat for all the scriptures on waiting on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can get in our Bible.
Yeah.
And we can read and we can find those scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to a concordance, we can go to an internet search or whatever tools we have. But as you read through, as you read the concept, as you slow down and really read, find out what's happening in the lives of the people that are writing it at that moment.
Yeah.
What were their lives like? What were they facing? Why did Isaiah write that? Why did Jeremiah write that? Why did Jesus in the New Testament come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest?
Yeah.
What's the point? He says, learn from me. That takes slowing down. That takes, he says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. What's he saying? Connect with me.
Yeah.
I'll do the heavy lifting for you. See, we could have a million scriptures given to us from chat, but one scripture given to us from the Holy Spirit, a rhema download that changes our life.
Right.
That's where I want to get to.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's important. So should Christians use AI? Yes.
Yeah.
But use it consciously.
Yes, that's good.
Use it intentionally. Use it, I think, we, you know, like you said, do we approach it with caution? Absolutely, because I don't want chat subtly starting to weave into my thought process as to where I'm outsourcing things that I should be owning.
Yeah. Well, it'll quickly become like, oh, I can't even come up with a thought outside of just chat. I can't make a decision outside of chat. The muscle memory, the habits that we establish, how much of chat is in our daily habit. And I don't think there's a limit that you're suggesting. We're not, you know, coming up with percentage, but I think there is going to be some of the thing that we can't lose our conscience to the idea to save time for the ease of use of things in our life. Because those are, I think that's when we come on dangerous grounds.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of chat. I'm a fan of its use. I'm a fan of its simplicity. I'm a fan of trying to identify the things in my life that I can streamline. Oh,
right.
If I can streamline with it. But there is this fear of God that remains in me, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
And another thing is that there's this part that goes, wait, here we are talking about being authentic. And there's this part of me that still knows, like, I want my authentic self in something.
Mm-hmm,
I don't want to be that imposter that I've convinced everybody else, but then I got to live with myself.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to try to present myself as smarter, as better than what I can actually do. Again, this is a tool. This is a resource. And I can, my brain knows how to prompt it. My brain. Mm-hmm. And again, I think those things are true. But there's just this part of me that goes, I don't want it to take over me.
Yeah.
And I don't want someone who goes, oh, he used chat. Oh, she used chat. That must be that. Like, that's part that kind of that fear that stays in me.
Well, there's been a lot of controversy around books that have been written by AI.
Yeah.
Music that's been written by AI and produced.
Yeah.
Even artwork that's been produced by those things.
Right.
And while it can produce some very beautiful things, and again, I think like you, we use AI in the generation of images that we put on our screens behind my sermons.
Right. Yeah.
We use it in streamlining certain things, whether it's video aspects or effects or different things like that. And we've even used it in some of our copy when it comes to website or different things, because it can give you text or it can give you a sentence that makes sense with what you, again, you're in the driver's seat, what you put in. Mm-hmm. So all those things are wonderful. But when it comes to the expressions, and I think if we can really drive this home, the anointing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God anoints his children, his people. And I've heard people that have used what I definitely know as AI statements and things like that. And it, to me, when I'm receiving, it's lacking in the power because the expression wasn't from God.
Oh, that's good.
It was from what the entire internet had to say and what the research was. Yeah. And I could tell that that was something that wasn't produced with a moment from the Holy Spirit. I want to hear from someone who's had time with God.
Yeah.
Me personally, when I'm receiving, I want to receive from God. And that's not to say that I can't mentally understand and acknowledge something and learn and grow from that thing. I'm not so proud that I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Or that the fact that it compiled something that someone put in themselves and just made the statement understandable, that's great. But at the end of the day, what has God told you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it that God wanted you to say?
Right.
Not just what did I put my thoughts in about all these things and then this computerized algorithm told me to say. What did the Holy Spirit bring?
Right.
And with that, if the Holy Spirit brought that, how does that impact my life and change me? How do I apply that? And that's really what I think we're getting down to is, again, the consciousness.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit made man a living being. Mm-hmm. He breathed the breath of God. It's the very life of God into us. Mm-hmm. And now man, in his creative processes, is doing an amazing work of creating certain things, artwork, music, literature, and even computer programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's where it's exciting in the sense that, hey, there are some things that used to take a long time that now we're able to do in a very short period of time. Like you said, building websites. I think that's a phenomenal tool for churches because there are small churches that are trying to get running, trying to get information out.
Yeah.
They can't pay a website designer and a social media expert and a videographer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that a small church, that's the pastor.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm doing it all.
Yeah.
But if he can use the tools of AI, now all of a sudden he can do a whole lot more and maybe reach more people for Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where I think intentionality, conscience, I'm consciously knowing what I'm going to use it for.
Yeah.
These are the determined things that I'm going to use this for. But here's what I'm not going to use this for.
Right.
If we're in the driver's seat, I think that's where it can become a powerful tool. Like Pastor Deborah was sharing with us about her studies and that sort of thing. I asked for scriptures on this. I asked for resources on this. I put in my information allowed it to show me, hey, here's what I see that you're showing, and now here's a list and some bullet points and things like that, but I'm creating content. As long as we're in the driver's seat, I think that we're doing well knowing what it is that we're using it for and knowing the expressions that we're going to allow to come out of it.
Right.
It's when, like you said, we're not conscious.
Yeah.
There's a subtle shift. We're outsourcing decisions and we're losing that mental muscle, that spiritual muscle that says that, hey, I'm going to hear from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to think thoughts. I think that's where, you know, it's in some ways popularized, but I think it's an ancient practice. Isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Quietness.
Mm-hmm.
Stillness. Boredom.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, our whole society, God forbid you be bored ever. We need to be entertained 24/7 and doom scroll in the middle of the night when we can't sleep.
Yeah.
Could it be that God has you awake in the middle of the night because he wants to talk?
Mm.
See, I think that we need to get back to some of the ancient practices, some of that be still my soul and know that he is God. Those are the things that I think deep calls to deep.
Yeah.
And if we allow AI to replace those areas of our life, we're missing out on something so beautiful that God has for all of his children.
Well, you know, now that you say that, I find myself with a hunger for information.
Mm.
Because I feel like I always got to be learning, growing. And I wonder if that's being fed by this constant information that you're getting and wanting to know more and wanting. And so you're like, I want to, like, you almost need a fix of knowledge.
And there's a reward that comes
with it. And oh, I got to know this. And so... So then we just become consumers of content, of information, of history, of whatever that is.
And it's a conditioned response.
And very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. And so I'm the conviction that I'm feeling is like, oh man, like not I don't want to be smarter. Not I don't want to. Who doesn't want to learn more? But how much more, you know, I think about that one piece of information, that one downloaded thing in your spirit versus, you know, the 12 suggestions that you got from chat versus that. Because, you know, what if you outsourced your prayer time schedule? Hey, chat, I'm going to pray for an hour. Give me 12 things. Give me something versus that versus sitting in. I mean, I don't know if about you. I've been bored in prayer times before, trying to stir myself up to get into a vein. And then towards the end of that time, all of a sudden you kind of get this download from the Holy Spirit just tugging on your heart.
Yeah.
And I just wonder those things. Again, you talk about your message prep. Imagine if you were to throw in some what you get at the back door and someone say, hey, Pastor Dan, you said this, this, and that. How'd you kind of come that? If you didn't do that wrestle, if you didn't do that time, if that wasn't an inspiration from the Holy Spirit, you say, well, chat said that I should say it. You know, or I threw it in chat. I asked chat the five most common issues about this topic, and it gave me those. So that's what you got today.
Yeah.
Versus, well, the Holy Spirit directed me here, and then it just, because I've heard you, all of us, you talked about how we get a message. And then I saw this scripture, and it just jumped off at the page, and I asked the Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? And then he showed me this, and then he took me to this scripture. Versus if I would have just, if we just outsourced these things, we wouldn't.
Yeah.
We wouldn't get that. And then it goes from a download of information to an inspiration or a transformation. We talk, you know, salvation is not information. You can't chat your way into heaven. You can't chat your way into a relationship with Jesus.
Genuine
faith.
There's
a transformation that takes place.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, two thoughts came to my mind. One is the value of when we talk about boredom and the journey of learning. When I've traveled and when I've seen places like Israel, when I've gone to the Holy Land or when I've gone to Rome, there have been some experiences that I had there that I could be told about, but until you get there.
Yeah, that's good.
Until you smell the air and feel the ground under your feet and see the environment, there's certain things that you cannot replicate. Mm-hmm. The same thing I think about reading a tactile book. Mm-hmm. I can read on my iPad or my phone, that sort of a thing. And I've read through certain things, but there's times where I'm reading a book, and right now I'm currently in the middle of a great book, and it's talking about apologetics. And just the train of thought, rather than the random thought, hey, what does the Bible say about apologetics? And I get 12 scriptures and key points. Taking a journey with an author and going through that has brought me into areas of thought that I wouldn't normally go to and has expanded my understanding in a greater way, and even my passion for it, to where I don't think I would have had that if I would have done a quick, hey, I'm doing a message on apologetics, or I need to teach a class on this. Yeah. Can I get, again, that's a great tool, and there might be some things that I didn't think about that, oh, I missed that. Let me pull that in from the tool that I used versus I'm going on a journey here. And there's such value in that journey.
Yeah. No, you're right, Pastor. That's so good. That's so good. I mean, we could talk about this more, and maybe we'll have to have some follow-up episodes again.
I'm sure AI we will.
It's constantly changing.
As it evolves and we learn more, I'm sure we'll talk about it some more.
As believers, as cautionary tales, things like that. But again, you have more comments, questions. I'm sure we would love to do our best to respond.
For sure.
So leave those in the comments. Email us. Comment, like, subscribe, share. We love you guys. We're grateful. Thanks again, Pastor Dan, for your time. See you guys next time.